let's give him praise together. Let's magnify our God together. Hallelujah, 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 amen. PATH Conference 2011 has had a tremendous, unique touch of God upon it that I cannot remember in all of the PATH conferences that I have come to, one that was quite this unique. And I am thrilled to be here. And I look around and see all of you precious saints and know how sincere you are about the work of God. Amen. This time last week, our church was at the viewing of a dear man of our church that had passed away. And we were there giving honor and respect unto him. And I told the church after the funeral, what they didn't know is that that man, whom had been in the church now for 20 years or so, he was a sinner man on the job with a man in our church. The man in our church witnessed to him one day on the job, and he lightheartedly joked it off. And that man went home and asked his wife to join him, and she did, on a 7-day fast that our co-worker on the job could find God. And I thought, oh God, how blessed we are to have saints that take the work of God that serious. How blessed we are to be among people, amen, that it's not just a frivolous part of the journey, how many high fives you can give at church, but they're real and genuine about the work of God. And I believe that's who I'm looking at here tonight. It's a congregation full of people that love God and are interested in doing the work of God. Thank you, Brother Garza. Wonderful room. It's even got a balcony I stepped out on and enjoyed for a little while. And man, I've got a knife that'll blow your mind. You ain't getting it though. Amen. Brother Garza's given to me, and wow, the food. Amen. Everybody's wishing they were on a low-fat diet after they saw the way that, amen, the food came to my table. And what a great, great blessing to be here. Amen. And to be treated like royalty. I appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Craig and Brother Kelly, Brother Frazier and Brother Phillips, for tremendous preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Tremendous preaching. And I am so happy that Jesus has come to visit us. I invite you to stand with me. I am reading to you from the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5, a verse of scripture that's not some obscure chimney corner scripture tucked away in the minor prophets, but it's a verse of scripture that all of us know very well. Found in 1 Peter chapter number 5, 5th chapter of 1 Peter, and well, you can guess it, it's verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The 99 Highway has a lot of sections of it that are dedicated as Memorial Highway. I saw one right here in Madera giving honor. Down around Taugus Ranch and that old dilapidated, deserted motel we see when we drive by there, there's a sign that says Pearl Harbor Survivors Memorial Highway. Anybody seen that? Yeah, you will. You'll see it sometime. Those words, of course, are important to all of us Americans. But I want to preach to you with the help of the Lord on the prelude to Pearl Harbor. The prelude to Pearl Harbor. The word prelude simply means something leading up to what follows. Something leading up to what follows. Now, we've got an adversary, and he doesn't have slanted eyes, and he's not from Japan. But we've got an adversary that I hope the Holy Ghost will help me to teach you here tonight. We better be watching for that something that's leading up to what will follow. Amen. Would you lift your voice and ask God to talk to us? God, in the name of Jesus, I cannot do it without you, God. Oh, God, the blessing that you have brought to this place, Lord, is beyond words of gratitude, God. And I'm praying, Lord, Jesus' name, help me, help me, help me, God, to fulfill the burden that you placed upon my heart, God. Help me, Lord, to accomplish it for the glory of God. I'm praying now, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah. Thank you, and you may be seated. Amen. The Bible teaches us that our adversary is none less than the devil. His mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His method that he uses, the Bible tells us that he is a thief. And if you look up and do a word study on that word thief, the root is to stalk and to steal. It's not just that he captures and takes things from us, but it is the stalking process that he does very, very effectively in your life and in my life and in everyone that's endeavoring to live for God. We must never forget that he is bigger than any one of us is. He is stronger than you are. He is more experienced than the most experienced one among us. He is a predator. Amen. And all predators are bullies. They're bullies. They love finding anyone that they can take advantage of. I have childhood memories of the day at Monta Vista Street School down in Los Angeles. The area was Highland Park, and I had moved over from Tucson, Arizona. Didn't know anything about the Vatos and the Pachucos, and I knew nothing about all of the scene that was there and all the dudes that started sniffing glue and the fifth grade and the sixth grade. And wow, man, they had drug habits that they had to support already there in school. And so they were really good at trying to extricate the lunch money out of kids. Or if you didn't have any money, they'd get you lunch. So they'd have something that they could eat and use their money to take care of the drugs. Now, I remember the class bully. He was doing his thing, and I was one of his many victims that was there. I mean, he was big, and he was bad. And the day finally came that I just got tired of being terrorized by that guy. I just simply got tired of going hungry at lunchtime. And I decided that it might be Custard's last stand, but amen, I was sure gonna give it a try. Hallelujah. And so he decided that he was coming after me that day and going for my lunch. And I let him to know that if he was getting my lunch, I was getting a half a sandwich out of him. And he didn't take it easy because he could tell that he was much more of a fighter than what I was. And I didn't have the experience that was there. And so he wanted to make a spectacle out of it. And he jumped up on the outdoor table that was there that we set to eat our lunch at. And he started dancing around and calling me names and saying, "Come on up here and let's fight it out in front of all of the school." And I just looked at him and said, "If you want to do it, let's do it down here." "Oh, you afraid, you big chicken," and a few choice words that cannot be used by apostolics as he was telling me and taunting me and doing everything in his power. He danced around a little more, told me how bad, amen, he was going to bloody my nose and what all he was going to do to me and how mutilated I'd be and how sorry I'd be for trying to take on a big bad bully like him. Amen. And I just stood down there with my lunch sack, amen, as if to say, amen, put up or shut up, or I'm starting to eat my lunch right now in front of you. Amen. And he danced and danced and danced and drew a crowd around there. And pretty soon one of the staff members came and asked him what was going on. And he was saying that I wanted to fight. And I said, "No, I don't want to fight. I just want to eat my lunch." And the dancing slowly stopped up on the table. And I never heard from him again. Whoo, hallelujah. Yummy, yummy, yummy for my tummy. I took care of that bully, amen, without getting a one black eye, without having any kind of a problem there. I'm here to preach to you tonight, amen, that your adversary pushes to see if you will push back. Amen. He pushes to see, amen, what kind of a response is going to come from you. And so I preach to you about the prelude to Pearl Harbor. Japan was the undisputed bully of the world for over 100 years. For those that have studied their history, know anything about it, you will know that in 1904, amen, many years before Pearl Harbor ever happened, Japan decided and they went in and destroyed the entire Russian Navy in one surprise attack. Amen. Took it out wiped it out, and Russia was not brave enough for any retribution to be exacted out of them. For several generations, Japan came to the Philippine Islands, and there they terrorized them. China trembled when Japan had an incursion into their land, and numerous times they exploited their fear, and they went in and conquered and destroyed and caused all kinds of problems. And so when Japan turned her attention upon the United States of America, it was no surprise to us, nor to the rest of the world. It was no surprise at all that eventually she would go after anybody that she wanted to, and knew and fully expected that she could get away with it. Amen. The United States that you and I know has not always been the superpower of the world. Matter of fact, I challenge you to study out some books, and you will find that in the 1930s, the U.S. military ranked number 26 in the world. Switzerland was ahead of us. Argentina was ahead of us, and 24 other people and their countries were ahead of us. All that we've ever known is we are the top of the dog pile. But there was a day where it wasn't anything close like that for us in the United States. By the time 1940 came around, the U.S. was becoming and trying to get an army and a navy and marines and get it all together. But by the time the events that we're talking about tonight took place, the United States had only reached 18th in military might in all of the world. Japan sat at the top, and there were 16 others between them and us that boasted of a military prowess that we as the United States could not come close to matching any of it. The word Pearl Harbor, those words ring out in our mind. We have a special day to commemorate it. But the prelude to Pearl Harbor is something that probably precious few of you know about. It happened in 1937. Nanking, China, was the city. And Japan decided to pick another fight with the Chinese. By that time, the U.S. Had one small gunboat, just one, in the harbor of Nanking, China. And Japan comes in with all its power and might. And the U.S. sent word to please allow us and our one little gunboat. We know we're no match or no challenge, and we're not even going to try to take sides with China. We'll let the bully do all the bullying that you want to do. Just please leave us alone and let our little boat be used to help. Amen. Help will be neutral, and let us use the boat to evacuate unarmed citizens of our own country and just get them out of the war zone. Would you just be so kind to allow us to do that? And Japan, amen, heard the request. Embassy staff, businessmen is what they were carrying on that boat. And the very first trip that they made, Japan, knowing that they were begging, please take it easy on us. We'll be good. We'll be nice. We won't challenge you at all. Amen. The Japanese warplanes swooped down upon that little boat, and they sunk it in the harbor, a boat full of unarmed U.S. citizens was sunk. They piled out. They got into life rafts. They did their best to try to get to shore, and back came, amen, the same war planes for men with no guns, no weapons, in little lifeboats, amen, strafing the water with machine gun bullets to try to kill them in the lifeboats, to try to wipe out any chance of them getting to shore. Amen. And they fired upon them. The total result of that little prelude to Pearl Harbor was only 3 Americans were killed. 11 were wounded. And the United States of America's newspapers began to publish the results of polls that said, what do we do? What do we do in the face of such muscle and might and power? What do we do? And I know we've romanticized, amen, that generation of Americans and called them the greatest generation. Thank God they finally did wake up and change their ways, amen. But at that time of the incident of Nanking, China, 70% of all Americans said in the polls, don't even try to fight back against Japan. She's too big. She's too powerful. She'll squash us. She'll annihilate us. It's all over. We're helpless. We're at their mercy. Whatever they do, it's their business. And we'll just have to take it on the chin. I'm here to tell you tonight that the bully saw that America didn't have enough fight in her. The bully clearly saw that we can do what we did to Russia, and Americans will respond the same. We can do what we've done to China, to the Philippines. The whole world is afraid of us, and nobody is going to raise up and challenge us. Amen. 4 years later, no matter what your history book have told you, 4 years later, it wasn't a surprise out of the blue. Japan had already been doing it to other countries for years. And now, it wasn't just 3 Americans killed and 11 wounded, but 18 American ships were sunk to the bottom of the harbor. 188 planes of our fledgling military was destroyed. 3,400 U.S. sailors were killed. Days later, they didn't go back and say, ooh, let's watch and see if America will respond. They were already convinced there wasn't any fight in America. And a few days after that, they were on another mission, and they found our heavy bombers, one half of every heavy bomber fleet that there was, that America possessed, was in the Philippines, and Japan came with their bombers and destroyed one half of now not only the naval capabilities, but now the Air Force capabilities, and destroyed them. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Que sera, será. Whatever will be. Can too often become the favorite song of One God Apostolic People. Mm-hmm. That I am just bearing my cross with dignity. I am just putting up with whatever hell wants to deliver against me, against my family, against my church, against anything and everything that I'm trying to do for God. And the bully takes notice. The bully takes notice. I met some people and I thought, you got the motto of cowards. Don't worry, be happy. Just put a smile on your face and forget about everything that the devil is terrorizing you with. Forget about everything that is happening in your little world. Don't let anything rob you of your peace. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible promises us that there would be a violent, strong reaction when the enemy comes in like a flood. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said the Spirit. Any of you got the Spirit of the Lord living in you? Ooh, I hope you got it. The Spirit raises up a standard. Now, that's not the standards that we preach in holiness. That means a battle flag. Oh, hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Not my spirit, but God's spirit that lives on the inside of me. Amen. Sends up a battle flag that said, bully, I've got a word for you. Amen. You're not doing that and getting by with it. You're not doing that with impunity. You are engaging somebody in a battle. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible talks about the methodology of a predator animal, the scavenger birds. You ever notice what they do is they circle around, amen, something that's laying down there on the ground, amen, that's helpless, something that's just about to breathe its last breath, and all the buzzards will start circling round and round and round and round. And the Bible describes what those birds do when they think that it's finally safe and there won't be any kickback and there won't be any fight and there won't be anything responded, that the bird goes down to the eye. The eye of that animal that's there and says, I'm going to give a little peck on that eye just to see if there's any life left in him. I'm going to give a little peck on that eye. I ain't going to try to rip their gizzard out yet. I'm just going to give a little peck on that eye to see if there's any response at all. And then if there is no response from that little peck that's on the eye, the scripture describes that the next thing they do is they actually pluck out the eye and eat the eye. Just kind of say, just in case I pecked on the wrong spot, I'm going to get my hors d'oeuvres and my appetizers here just right. But I'm going to make absolutely sure that there ain't nothing left kicking inside of that victim that is down there. And when they pluck out the eye and still don't get any response, I'm telling you, the feast begins. The feast begins, and they will stop at nothing. They will eat every bit of flesh that they possibly can pick off of the bones that are there. Oh, I don't know about you, and I don't want to get too personal in any of your lives, but I'm going to tell you, friend, amen, as for me and my house, my family is the apple of my eye. Whoo, hallelujah. It's the apple of my eye. When it comes to human relationships, ooh, hallelujah. And there's a bully. There's a bully. There's a bully that wants to see what kind of a reaction comes out of you as a mother or as a father when he pecks on the eye. Hallelujah. I don't mind telling you, I'm a pastor. There's saints of our church that are here. Amen. Please don't feel bad at me. Amen. But we keep a prayer log at our church. We encourage our people to do like the New Testament church did. And we call it daily in the temple. Hallelujah. Don't really care. Amen. How much you tell me you pray at home. I just want you to come and be daily in the temple. Praying and seeking the face of God and creating a spirit and an atmosphere inside of that church. But oh, my friend, when I counsel with a parent over the phone or in the office and find out they just discovered that Johnny was smoking marijuana, Johnny had drank his first beer that week, amen, was caught watching pornography or listening to ungodly music, amen. You know what this pastor does? I go to the prayer log. And I say, I want to see if the devil got a response out of mama. Woo. Hallelujah. I want to see if that made daddy's blood boil. Woo. Hallelujah. That daddy that's been so busy working overtime that he hadn't had any time to fight the buzzards off of his kids. I want to see if he's doing something about it. I want to see if he's calling on God. I want to see if the Spirit really lives inside of him. Is sending up a battle flag saying, you better look out, Satan. Look out. I'm not taking that sitting down. I'm not taking that, amen, without a fight. I'm not taking that without bombarding you back. Oh, hallelujah. 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 But I'm sad to inform you. Oh, God. Precious people that I love. When the daughter cuts her hair for the first time, no battle flag goes up. They ain't praying any more than they was praying before it happened. I can't find them in the prayer room before service begins, just like I couldn't find them before. Amen. When their son becomes sexually active, amen, a mom and a dad that ought to be pushing back from the table and lacing up the gloves and saying, come on, Spirit, amen, the battle is on. The battle is on. The battle is on. Amen. Devil, until there's blood in my boots, I'm going to fight you. You're not getting my son. You're not getting my daughter. You're not destroying them. God's going to help me to fight against you. The prelude to Pearl Harbor is the little things that the devil does to see if you got any fight in you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching to you tonight. Don't get mad, get even. Hallelujah. Because it's not your flag that's being run up the pole. Hallelujah. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And the forces of heaven, amen, rally around the flag and say, come on. Amen. We need an airstrike right here. The ground troops are needing a little help. Bring on the firepower. Bring it on. He's messing with one of ours again. Let's throw everything we got at him. Oh, hallelujah. Husbands and wives who tell me their marriage is on the rocks. But I can't find them in the prayer room, either of them. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why they will allow the bully to get by with bringing them to the brink without a fight, without anything. Oh, hallelujah. Bible tells us, I was reading just this morning, amen, early, about Hannah. Oh, there she was. The Bible said her adversary, amen, provoked her sore. Ooh, it kept happening again and again. Amen. And something snapped inside of Hannah that day that had never happened before. I'm going to tell you, the story of Hannah teaches us something. And that is that God will not respond to a pity party. I'm sorry, amen, don't mean to rain on your parade, but that was not her first box of Kleenex to use. Bible talked about it happening year after year after year. That was not her first conversation with God about the problem. Oh, hallelujah. She prayed, but something happened that day. It was her first time to mix faith with her tears. Ooh, hallelujah. Brother White, you're touching all over sore spots in my life, and you don't know how many buckets of tears I have cried. Hey, I understand. Amen. I don't understand all your trials, but I've had mine. Amen. And I've had many, many days in my life that I knew if my child would die that day, they'd go straight to hell. They weren't living for God. They were lost. And oh, God. God, I know what it's like to feel that pain and that agony, but there was something in her heart that said, God, I've cried about this a lot of times before, but I tell you what, I feel faith stirring in my heart. Amen. I feel more than a pity party today. I feel something inside of my heart. I'm going to tell you what, God, amen, I used to would be happy with either a boy or a girl, but I'm telling you, today my prayer has got some faith to it. I'm asking you for a man child. Amen. Because I believe you're able to open up this barren womb of mine and give me any kind of child that you want to give to me. And I tell you what I'm saying, God, when you give him to me, I'm going to give him back to you. And there's not going to be a razor that's going to be upon his head. She said, see these tears. I got some faith. I'm mixing with it as I roll up, amen, the battle flag. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Almighty God responded. I read to you the text about the devil going about as a roaring lion. I have heard preachers preach from that text, and I have heard them say that the roaring lion is only the old and infirm and toothless lions, and that they roar because the sound of their roar is so terrifying that it actually, amen, paralyzes the prey that would normally run, and they just freeze. The old toothless tiger or lion gets out there and gums him to death. The Smithsonian Institute came out with an article recently. They had sent researchers to debunk the myths about roaring lions. And they privately, with their cameras, with all of the things that they could possibly do, they set up to watch and to listen and to observe how the lion used their roar. The first thing that they found out is the roar didn't paralyze any animal in the jungle. Matter of fact, contrary to that belief, the roar kicked in the afterburners for every animal that knew what the lion was all about. The roar, amen, sent them, amen, scrambling for cover, breaking speed records every time. And the closer the roar was, amen, the faster that they ran, amen. But they found out that the reality was that the roar of the male lion had a very specific reason every time that he roared. Cats, all cats are subtle. They know that they've got to sneak up on their prey. They know that the roar will only identify where they're at and what they're up to. And they don't even use it for that purpose at all. But the article in the Smithsonian said, amen, that the roar is used only when he's trying to claim new territory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, If you're a good apostolic, hallelujah. You dedicated your children at the altar when they were babies. And that's God's property. Woo, that's not territory that that old rascal has any claim on at all. Ooh, hallelujah. But he is not in any way afraid to attempt to claim new territory. He's not bashful about it. He's not afraid. The lion, their family structure is they're called prides. These prides, the family of lions that are there, different parts of the jungle is the domain that is there. And a male roaring lion comes and struts into new territory. And when he roars his loudest roar, he is issuing a challenge to see if there's another lion that's willing to roar back. Hallelujah. And to say, no vacancy around here, bub. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The unwelcome mat is laid out in this part of the jungle. You better know that if you come into this part of the jungle, the blood and the fur is going to fly. Hallelujah. And that lion, no matter how big, no matter how bad or how strong he is, if he hears the roar of a strong male lion responding back to him, he does the shikamo shy, pass him on by number and trots on to greener pastures. Oh, hallelujah. The devil absolutely knows what he's doing with the feminization of men today. Oh, my God. He knows exactly what he's doing, trying to get a whole generation of men that won't take the lead and the spiritual responsibility to say, I am the spiritual protector of the pride of my life. I am the one that responds back. Amen. I'm here. I'm ready. Bring it on. Amen. You got a fight on your hands. You're not going to sink my little boat. You're not going to peck on that eye without a pound of flesh and a pint of blood being drawn back from you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But unfortunately, there are times. That no male lion responds. The females are deeply hoping, trembling on the inside because they know how powerful that male lion is. That somewhere, somehow, something will stir within the heart of a strong male lion to roar back. But when silence is all that greets the roar of the lion, the female lionesses know something that Holy Ghost-filled people need to learn tonight. They know that He's not afraid of my roar by itself. But if I can get a couple of more female lionesses to join in with me. Hallelujah. Say, big boy, we'll gang tackle you if we have to. Oh, hallelujah. And if He hears a roar back of two or three lionesses blending their voices together, amen, roaring back, amen, saying to Him, I know what you're after. I know what you want. If we let you in, you're going to kill all of our male cubs, and them are my babies, and I'm not letting you kill them. Amen. You are going to rape all of my female cubs to try to father offspring out of them. And I'm not letting you do it. You'll have to kill me first. You'll have to destroy me first. We are banding together. We are uniting together. Amen. We are standing together. We are fighting together. We are telling you, amen, pick up your duds and get out of town. Get out of here. Amen. You're not coming. You're not coming. You're not coming. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the united response of even one weaker than him. Oh, hallelujah. 100% of the time. Oh, hallelujah. Sent that roaring lion off for easier pickings. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the musicians come tonight in this building, there are young people here. You are the only one in your family to face the roaring lion. There are single parents that are here. But tonight, while I preach, you are feeling so overwhelmed. You are feeling like it's an impossible task that I have to do. There are moms and dads that are here. I hate to even mention it because I know it causes more pain. Heartbroken. Heartbroken over kids of yours that are lost. There are pastors and pastors' wives that are discouraged, feeling so helpless, the onslaught of the roar of the lion, of the peck on the apple of your eye. And I'm going to do something a little different here. Tonight, just please allow me. We're not going to leave you as the saints out. We're just going to do something that maybe you can see by example. And whatever your need is, you can join after the fact and come up around the altar. But I'd like to invite first all of the ministry, the preachers, their wives, and their kids that are in this building. Will you come and fill up this altar space? Stand around here together with your family. We are all too independent for our own good when it comes to the battlefield. And the roaring lion that we are to meet every day. Can I tell every preacher's kid, every preacher's wife stands around this altar. Make room. There's some more room over on this side, so nobody has to stand out in the aisle. Find your family. Sister Braid, join us, please. If there's preachers' widows that are here, please, Sister Chavez, please come. If there's others that I don't know, you're a part of us. We love you. We're trying to get our families to heaven. We're trying with everything within us. The Bible teaches me that I am 5 times as strong if I can get just one of you to roar with me back at the lion when he's after one of mine. And you are 5 times as strong if you just have one of us roaring back with you, praying with you. You say, where do you get that, Brother White? Do the math. One can put 1,000 to fight. Two puts 10,000. Means together we're 10 times as strong. Brother Kelly, oh, I heard you and I wept about you waiting for the phone calls. But the truth, Brother Kelly, we've all done that. Matter of fact, I've asked God to have you call me. I've named D.C. Moody and Gary Howard and everybody I could think of. Gifted in those areas. God, please, 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 let somebody call me. And the calls never came. And I'm sorry, I'm not gifted in that way. I'd sure call anybody if God ever gave me a word for you, I promise. But you know what? I've had to come to the conclusion that I'd rather have one friend talking to the devil about me than to have 100 friends talking to me about the devil. I'd rather have one friend. And Sister Kelly, I hope you don't mind me using you wonderful people. You're far enough away from home that I couldn't tell the stories I know on the others that are here without injuring. Sister Kelly, I promise you, I never called, but I begged God today, Lord, let Sister Kelly know she's not alone. Let hell know he's not alone. Let the adversary that's touching his family know that you got me to contend with too, devil. Before you take them under. They are not alone. I look across the faces of wonderful preachers, wives that I dearly love, and I'm not really good at picking up the phone and calling you. But I promise you, when I hear you're going through something, hallelujah, I've roared with you. Back at the roaring lion. Said you got more than them on your hands today, devil. Leave them alone. Back off. Back off. Back off. Back off, devil. And I wonder. We could just be honest and transparent enough. If you are a preacher and you're here today and the lion's roaring, in some way at you today, and you would like for some of these other preachers that are here to just come by, lay a hand on your shoulder. Oh, hallelujah. And talk back to the lion and say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Bracken, you're not alone. You're not alone fighting for that daughter that you told us about. That devil has lied long enough. You're not alone. Would you be willing to slip up a hand if you'd like somebody to come by? Just pray a moment with you. Oh, God. Saints of God, as we pray for our own, would you mind standing with me right now? Would you be willing to come in behind these ministers and bring your needs, bring your family, and start praying with one another. Bring your family. Oh, God. Start praying. Start praying. Start praying. Oh, God. Oh, God. Start praying for one another. Start praying. I know. To me about the devil. Talk to the devil about me. Oh, my God. Help me roar back. Help me roar back. Help me cry back. Help me fight back. Somebody, come on, find somebody to pray with.